reading this morning is taken from John 42 through 47. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I'm here, and I'm not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you can convict me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is you are not of God." Please be seated.
We are glad that you have come to be with us today to worship our God in heaven and to hear his word proclaimed. I want to start off by thanking the elders here for allowing me. Last week I was able to preach in the Keys congregation. This is an annual event every year on our way to senior camp. We worship with the Keys congregation, with other congregations there. And this year, Brother Rod says, "Gary, I've got you lined up to preach there." So I talked to the elders, and one of the elders says, "Well, it looks like you're preaching in Keys." So I was able to worship with that congregation last Sunday, and I'm glad to be back with you today. You never know how much it means to have you as part of my family. Next Sunday, however, I'll be preaching at the Hutch congregation in Hutchinson, Kansas. This spring, when the congregation in Stafford had their men's retreat, they had asked me to come and speak at the retreat, and a couple of the elders from Hutch were there, and they asked if I could come and to speak there while they were without a preacher one Sunday, and our elders gave their permission for me to do that. So I'll be attending there next Sunday morning, though I will be back next Sunday night to serve and worship with you. Before I left for camp, we started a three-lesson series on sin and its consequences. That first sermon was entitled Sin and Its Consequences. This one here is entitled the same thing, except part two. And then our third lesson that I will deliver, I believe that will be August 6th, will be entitled How to Avoid Sin. This morning, as we continue to study the characteristics and consequences of sin, we realize that we have talked about two aspects of sin already. First of all, we've talked about how sin and its parentage is of the devil. The devil is the father of it. He is the root of it, the power of it, and is that which the one who strives to get all of creation to bow to him. Secondly, we discussed that sin is a deceiver. It never appears as it really is until it's too late, until it has caused us to violate God's law and has subjected us to the penalty of sin. That's important for us to hold on to understand that sin only reveals itself as sin once we're snared, once we're trapped, once we're caught by the very act of it. Today we want to continue with three more characteristics and consequences of sin. First of all, sin is a robber. It's a thief. It robs us of our confidence in God. If we take our minds back to Genesis chapter 3, behold the scripture when it talked about how God used to come into the garden and walk in the cool of the evening with Adam and Eve. And after Adam and Eve had sinned, they hid themselves. And we have God asking, calling for them where they were. And Adam and Eve had lost their confidence in their relationship with God. Satan got Adam and Eve to doubt God. And he did it by directly contradicting God's pronouncement of death. Do you remember him saying, "You shall not surely die"? What is remarkable to me about this is that as Satan tells this lie, he directly contradicts what God has said, the creator of man, the one who came down and walked with him in the garden, with them in the garden. He contradicts God, and they believe him. They believe Satan in spite of all that God has revealed to them. But isn't that what happens today to many of us? We know what God says, we know what the Scripture says, and yet we still believe Satan's lie? Have you ever heard someone say, "Well, just a little bit won't hurt"? Just a little bit is okay. It's socially acceptable. You know, just missing Sunday night, that's no big deal. You've already been there. Just missing Wednesday night, that's not a catastrophe. I mean, everybody has to work and has a life apart from the church. Have you ever heard anything like that? I've heard that over the years. People say, "Well, it's not like I'm condemning my soul because I didn't participate. It's not like because I don't read my Bible every day that anything terrible is going to happen to me." You see, it's when we start believing the slight deceptions, that's when we start getting in trouble. We need to understand is why we chose to believe to do what Satan says instead of what God desires. There's a reason for each of us when we understand what the reason is. And that's our opportunity to make sure that that reason does not conquer us. And that has to do with our own desires. Over in James chapter 1 and verse 14 and 15, the Holy Spirit says, it's when our lust, our strong desires, comes the conception of sin. And when sin is full grown, that's when it brings forth death. The Puritans to our country understood this, and I think they maybe carried it and exercised their belief differently than what I would. But they understood and they thought that anything that they liked or desired, they need to stay away from. I don't believe that's scriptural, but at least they had the understanding that the inception of temptation comes from our own strong desires. So a bit of warning that I would provide this morning is, if there's anything that you just really, 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 really want to do or like, maybe you need to check it and see what the results, the consequences, and where the basis of it is. Unfortunately, there was enough doubt created in Eve and Adam's mind to get them to disobey God. They simply did not believe God and allowed their own desires to make the decision for them. Do you remember the verse that says, "For it was good to eat and to look at"? They gave in to that. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19 tells us to be enticed by the promise of fulfillment. But at what cost? I don't know about you. My wife's a great cook. But I have to tell you, at Thanksgiving and Christmas, she goes all out. She makes a meal like you would not. I mean, her dressing. She She makes her homemade bread to make the dressing and homemade cornmeal days ahead of time so she can dry it and make it. And that is some of the best. That is the best dressing I've ever had in my life. And all of her food is good. And I have to tell you, I anticipate. I mean, I'm already at camp this year. Was Christmas in July, and they had. Let's see, the cooks aren't here. They had a facsimile of a Christmas meal, but compared to Brenda's, it lacked, in my estimation. But it got me thinking. Thanksgiving's coming. And then I counted the months, and it's still a ways away. But when Brenda gets that meal and put on the table, I mean, there is turkey and dressing and cranberries and sweet potatoes and green beans and mashed potatoes and gravy and homemade and pecan pie. I mean, it is. And each year, for the last 20 years, I've said, I'm going to be diligent. I'm only going to allow myself to have one plate at the meal. I'm not going to go back for seconds. And since me knowing I only get one plate, by my own determination, my plate needs sideboards. I mean, it gets piled on there. And I sit down and I eat it, and I know what's going to happen. I'm going to eat it, and after I get through, and I'm going to go sit down in my chair, I'm going to go, oh, I ate too much. But it was good. And I wanted it. Now, if I only do that once or twice a year, I don't think that's gluttony. That's overeating. Maybe I am a glutton, but the thing is, if we're not careful, that's how sin appeals to us. That's how sin reaches, hey, it's only Thanksgiving, go for it. She doesn't make dressing every month. She doesn't do that like this all the time. But that's how Satan reaches out and grabs us. It deceives us. It snares us. It causes us to believe Satan's lie. That it really doesn't matter. It's just a little bit. What did the Hebrew writer say in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12? Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Satan gets us to doubt what God has said. Gets us to doubt the way God has established things. And if we had time, we would spend more time investigating how that has affected the church, how that has affected the home, and even the workplace. Sin not only robs us of our confidence in God, our confidence in relationship in God, it also robs us of our time. Sin leads to waste. Wasted bodies, wasted energies, wasted lives, wasted health, wasted possessions, wasted time. Sin can and does enslave us for years to where there's little time to serve God. Think about people who are ensnared and trapped by addictions. There are people who are addicted to pornography and sexual immorality, alcohol, drugs. There are people who are addicted, and I'll even carry this even further. I have a book in my office called Stress and Adrenaline, and one of the precepts it sets forth is there are some people who are addicted to adrenaline to the point that they seek to have that high that comes from the exhilaration of the flood of adrenaline in their life, whether it be stress or work or whatever the case may be. When sin takes hold, when sin starts, it brings about that snare, and then the human body, the human mind, wants more of it. It won't be satisfied with the same amount. It has to have more. Whether it be just a sip of alcohol, whether it be just one toke of marijuana, whether it be just one glance at some pictures. That does not continue to satisfy. Sin will then start to draw and call, and you have to have more to gain that same feeling. It is in that process that our time then becomes more consumed. Our time, our energy, our body, all the resources that God has provided then becomes occupied with trying to get our fix, trying to get that which we think satisfies. One who is caught up and governed by sin will have missed so many opportunities to look back on. And when they do look back and they see what has been lost, there is an anguish that's never satisfied, that's never consoled. We can't go back and reclaim that time, those opportunities given. Maybe that's why the Holy Spirit saw it important to write in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verses 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Once the time is passed, we can't go back and reclaim it. Once the opportunities of that time are missed, it's out of our grasp. You see, it also robs us of our helpful companions. Have you ever noticed there's never a shortage of evil companions to help you sin? There's always those going to be there to say, come on, you can do it. It doesn't matter. It's just one time. Satan has plenty of those under his control who will help you sin. Paul said evil companionship corrupt good morals. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. And such are always ready to lead us into sin. You remember the cartoon Pinocchio? You remember how Geppetto talked to Pinocchio, and as Pinocchio's going to school and he's trying to be a good boy? And you remember the contemporaries of his? Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Let's enjoy this. It's fun. While the righteous wants to help us from fleeing sin. One of the things about the family here in Dodge City, that as human as we are with the frailties that we have, there are faithful Christians who are always willing to be a source of encouragement and strength, to help in making a good choice. And yet, it seems sometimes that good choices are hard to grasp or hold on to in our lives. I don't watch a whole lot of TV. But during the week, during what I call the week where I have busy activities going on, I like watching stupid comedies. Not sinful ones, but stupid ones you don't have to think about. Ones you don't have to figure out. Ones you can just sit there and sort of go brain dead and watch. Now on the weekend, I like more of the challenging documentaries and thinking type shows. When I come home in the evening time and I sit down, the idea of picking up a class material or a book or something else to study is sort of like, I'm not ready for this. Let me just watch one show. So I turn on the thing, and you know, very seldom is it ever turned off after one of those shows. If I turn on Netflix, you know what happens? the next show comes up. The next show comes up. And before long, an hour and a half has gone by, and I've still not accomplished that which I want to accomplish. It's just so much easier to sit there and let it happen. You see, sin robs us of our time, but it also robs us of helpful companions. Those good things, good people that would draw us closer to God. Sin's there to, if we just let it happen around us. James was to tell us, the brother of Jesus in James chapter 4 and verse 7, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. One thing I have learned about Satan, if I have learned anything, is very seldom does he want to come face to face with a Christian. Very seldom does he ever want to confront a Christian right eyeball to eyeball, nose to nose. Why? I'm convinced he knows he can't win that way. Because a Christian's going to say, no, I will not do this or do that. And I would encourage us to consider for a moment. Think about some sin in your life. When has it happened? When Satan's confronted you face to face? Or whether when he's sucker punched you? When he's coming from the side? When he's appealed to your flesh? When has Satan got a foothold? When he appealed to your pride? When he appealed to your confidence? Satan is going to work on us in any way he can to destroy us. And one of the ways is keeping us from helpful companionship. Have you ever noticed, and I've noticed this over the years, I've had members and know people, even outside the church, that when they're away from the church building, they have a mouth like trash. Everything that comes out of the foul language, vulgarities. And then I've heard, I don't know how many times I've heard this, oh, sorry, Pastor, I didn't know you were there. Or in the church, people I've known that I hear out away from the building, away from the gathering. Their mouth is inappropriate. Yet, in 38 years of preaching, do you know I've only heard one time somebody curse in the middle of Christians gathered together in the church? Why? That tells me that people control themselves when they're in the proper environment. When they're around the proper companionship, they're more likely, I should say, to control themselves. The prodigal son had plenty of people willing to help him to live and bring his life into a life of depravity. He wasn't alone. But where were they when he needed them most? Where were they while he was in as a Jew in a pig pen, wanting to eat pig slop? To whom did he turn for help? If you find that you're not able or do not desire to spend time with the righteous, to attend spiritual activities, it's time to re-examine and re-evaluate. What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your life? It also robs us of our promise of eternal life in heaven. Do you believe that eternal life is our birthright? Think about it. We were created by God to spend eternity with God. God did nothing to take that away. Sin does that. Sin causes us to lose our birthright. Consider what John was to record in Revelation 21 and verse 8. For Jesus said, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's not what God created us for. God never intended for us to be hell spotter. The lake of fire was intended for Satan and his angels, not for mankind. But it's when through our own unbelief or denying of the knowledge that there are those who will spend eternity there, that we make choices that lead us down that very road. But in addition to the characteristic of sin being a robber, sin is also a tyrant, a dictator, an oppressor, a tormentor. Sin comes as a temporary guest. He says, it won't hurt. It's so small. It requires so little. No one will ever know. I cannot tell you the number of people that I have been able to share their grief when they have come and said, I have committed this sin, but nobody knows about it. I've cheated on my husband. I've cheated on my wife. I put a wrong number down on my income tax on return on purpose. I took this from work knowing that nobody would ever know that I got it. The burden, the guilt of sin. Jesus was to say in John chapter 8 and verse 34, whoever commits sin is a servant of sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or unto obedience unto righteousness? Listen how Peter describes certain ones in this condition. In chapter 2 and verse 14 of 2 Peter, it says they cannot cease from sin. That's an enslavement. How many people do we know that are caught up in sinful behavior that it seems that they have no free will left? We know it's not true, but that's how sin parades itself. That's how addictions parade itself. That's how Satan parades itself. In verse 19, the same chapter, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. This week at camp, one of the teachers is a man who lives in Colorado. As you know, the Colorado has legalized marijuana. And this gentleman was telling me of the things that are now going on around the community, the countryside where he lives. You can go to the internet and do a search for crime in Colorado now and look and see at the increase. And if you do your investigation, one of the things that you will find is how it connects back to the choice that was made, that is made, by those who choose to participate in that drug. I am told that in the church that pornography is probably the fastest growing sin in the Lord's church. It's a secret sin. A sin that you can get on the internet and nobody know, supposedly. It creeps in and never satisfies. Sin's goal is to enslave mankind. Sin's goal is to trap us to where we feel we have no out and we can't do anything about it. Consider for a moment if you saw that being advertised that way. Come, get trapped with what we drink and what we eat. Come, enjoy life, and here's the consequences if you do. How many people would fall for it? You see, it wants to completely dominate one's heart, one's soul, and one mind. Sin is a tyrant. Not only is it a thief, not only is it a tyrant, but it's also a destroyer. Sin destroys relationship between man and God. Is that not what the prophet Isaiah was to record God saying in Isaiah chapter 59 and verses 1 and 2? Is that not what God says, that sin has caused a separation between Him and us? Only sin can destroy the relationship that God has with man. Paul was persuaded, he says, we ought not to be persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God's love but sin. But that which we choose to be our Lord. Sin destroys not only our relationship with God, but it also destroys peace of mind. It takes away one's clear conscience. It burdens us with guilt and shame and regret. Think about it. Matthew 26, verse 75. What happened after Peter denied Christ? He went and wept bitterly. In 27, verse 5 of Matthew, what did Judas do? He went and hung himself. Family, friends, we cannot be at peace with God while we continue in sin. We cannot have the relationship with God that He desires with a heart that says, I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. I know this will not draw me closer to God, but it's what I'm going to do. It's what I've chosen to do. Not only does sin destroy our relationship with God and destroy a peace of mind, but it destroys man's will to serve God. Sin can overcome a man, overtake him, destroy him. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. It can take a man to the point that where he cannot be brought back to repentance. Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6. Recall the verses, several verses where it said God gave up on them. One translation says God gave them up. Their conscience were so seared that it could not be touched. That's an unfortunate place to end up. When God gives up on someone, it destroys the body. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, Paul writes, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Paul would say to the church in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 6, in verses 7 and 8, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he that sows to the flesh will reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Family, please hear my heart and my plea. Do not be deceived. Sin is not your friend. And I don't care what you call it. You can use all the political correct terminology that you want to call it, but sin is still that who will destroy you. Satan wants to destroy every one of us, and there is none of us who are exempt from the influence or the temptation that comes. Consider for a moment the man Judas. Do you remember the apostle Judas? This is a man who walked with the 12 and heard the teachings one-on-one from Jesus. This is one who had seen Jesus perform miracles time after time after time. This is one who had eaten the bread that Jesus had miraculously created. This is one who had been sent out with the apostles, and all indications is that he had participated in the healings of the sick and raising the dead and casting out spirits. And Satan snared him. Satan went in from the side and appealed to his greed. And one of the 12 whom God had given Jesus as his own betrayed him. Don't say it can't happen to you. Don't say it can't happen to me. Satan's looking for an opportunity for it to happen. Satan and sin is a destroyer. It destroys the body. It destroys relationship between man and God. It destroys man's will to serve God. And it will destroy man's soul in hell. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Jesus said he came to release man from that bondage of sin. He came to give man a brand new start. Do you remember Nicodemus coming to Jesus? You remember what Jesus said to him? Except one be born again. How many times have we wished that we could go back and start fresh? Start over? I have to tell you, family, that over the years, as I've had couples come and visit with me and share their concerns, their heartaches, their strife, then I've been able to reflect about my failings as a husband. And there have been many times that I wish I could go back and correct choices and mistakes that I have made. There have been many times that I wish that I could go back to the very day that Brenda said I do and start all over, not having any of the bad things that I've said and done in her mind, that I could be more of a blessing. Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. John 10:10. He wants us to know the truth about sin, because with the knowledge of the truth, that truth can set us free. John 8, verse 32. He wants us to become servants of righteousness. Romans 6, verse 18. He wants us to give us the release from the burden of sin. There are some here this morning whose life sin has crept into. There are some here this morning, I know, that are struggling with the tyranny and bondage of sin. You don't have to live that. God wants to free you from your slavehood. He wants you to have the hope and the promise of tomorrow, of an eternity with Him. Sin may tell you that well, it's okay if we're dating if we just do this. And then there's an unexpected child out of wedlock. Well, it's okay if you only drink during this time period. It's a social occasion. And then there's recovery from alcoholism. Well, if you only take a toke or two and only do it on weekends. And then there's the robbery at the store to get money to get more. Well, if you only talk about this or that with this person, it's okay. What did Paul say in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 about how we bite and devour one another? Watch out, lest you also be consumed. Understand, at no time and no place is one itty bitty bit of sin sufficient. Because that itty bitty bit of sin will lead us to hell. Because no amount of sin connects just one time. If a person will tell a, quote, white lie, he'll lie about something bigger. Understand, sin comes from his parent, the devil. And sin never reveals itself until after we're trapped with the consequences of it. Jesus came, and it's only through him that can this bondage, this burden, be lifted. It's only through his blood that we can have the forgiveness of sin and be born again to start all over. Obey the gospel of Jesus and be saved. Be redeemed from the penalty and the burden of sin. To come to that point, see sin being of its evil parentage, Satan. Understand that sin is a deceiver. Sin is a thief. It's a tyrant. And a destroyer. But Christ is our Redeemer. Christ is He who came to give us the promise of life, a home with Him for all eternity. And He wants you and I there with Him always. If there's a way that we can help you, go there. To be released from the trap of sin, grant us the privilege and opportunity to encourage and help you as we stand and as we sing.